Today we're continuing our series entitled The Big Picture. And when we think about the big picture, we think about perspective on our lives. What is this life really all about? Our text comes from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus." Amen. Amen. I want to focus our attention this morning on verse 23, where it states, "For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The big picture. The big picture. You know that old classic story of the kid who wants to touch the stove, and mom or dad always has to tell the child, don't touch the stove, you'll burn yourself. Don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove. But the kid always has this fascination with the stove and wants to, maybe when they're not looking, try to sneak up and touch the stove. And eventually, mom or dad has to send little Johnny to his room to try to teach him the lesson that you're not supposed to break the rules. You're not supposed to do the things mom and dad tell you not to do. And little Johnny's in his room, and he's thinking, "Man, they won't let me touch that stove. What's the big deal? I don't understand. I don't get it." We've all been there. May not have been touching the stove. Maybe it was something else. But we're trying to figure out what's the big deal. And it's not until you get older that you realize the issue really isn't about the stove or about that thing they said not to do. The issue is the fact that as the parent, you want to see the child flourish and be healthy and fulfill their potential. And if they do things that put themselves in danger, it jeopardizes the bigger picture of them fulfilling their potential and being who they were made to be. That's really what it comes down to. That's why you don't want the child touching the stove. You want them to be healthy. You want them to be in position to fulfill their purpose. Have you ever asked God or wondered why God has a problem with sin? Sometimes our perspective of salvation is as immature, not in a disrespectful way to say immature, but as immature as little Johnny in his room who thinks that the problem is when I break a rule, rather than the problem being undermining my parents' larger purpose, larger desire for my life. So the question is, what is the problem with sin? Why is sin a problem? Why do we need Jesus to deal with our sin, to wash our sin away? Is it because that God is just, you know, he's a God of principle, and he doesn't like it when you break his principle. He doesn't like it when you disrespect the boundaries that he puts in place? Or is there a bigger picture? Is there a larger picture or desire that God has for us other than just the rules itself? Paul said that we have all sinned, but he doesn't stop there. He says we have all sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. So the real issue isn't sin. The issue is that we fall short of the glory of God. When we understand our purpose to reflect the glory of God, we'll understand what this life is really all about. If you go to Genesis 1, I hope you brought your Bible today. If you go to Genesis 1, I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 1. Okay. God speaks the world into existence. God is separating things. He's separating light from darkness. He's separating the sky, the sea from the land, the heavens from the earth. And then he's filling everything with life, with vegetation, with the animals, with birds. And then he comes down to verse 26, chapter 1, verse 26. And he says, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them do all the things that are righteous, be perfect, and never do anything wrong." Is that what your translation says? Okay. Let me try that again. God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them never make us angry." Okay. "According to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And what's the first thing God said to them? "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth." I don't see anything about being righteous, being perfect, being flawless, being worthy of standing in my presence. Is salvation really about putting myself in a condition where I am now acceptable in God's presence? Is that what it's really about? If I look at this text, the first thing on God's mind isn't humanity's worthiness to be in his presence, it's humanity's mission. He gives humanity an assignment. He gives humanity a calling. And to bear the image of God, to reflect the glory of God, to reflect his goodness. And when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about all the things about God that make us go, "Wow." You know, when you look at the stars in the sky and the mountains and the raging waves of the ocean, and you go, "Wow, look at what God did." You say, look at what God did. God wants the creation to look at you and your life and go, "Wow, look at what God made." And not only look at what God made, but look at who God is. Because God said he wanted to make humankind in his image and in his likeness, which means we are to reflect who he is. His wisdom, his compassion, his love, his creative genius, all the things that make us go, "Wow." And the way we reflect the glory of God is not just by being in some some spiritual condition where we are flawless and we can stand acceptable in God's presence. The way we reflect God's glory is by fulfilling God's assignment for our lives. This is why God said in the beginning, let us make humankind in our image and let them, what? Have dominion over the fish of the sea. He gave them an assignment. And so our question today is, what is the big picture of salvation? When we come to Christ, are we coming to Christ just to stand accepted in his presence, or are we coming to Christ so that we might walk out his plan and his purpose for our lives? See, the issue in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when you break down that fall short of the glory of God, in the Greek, it's in the present passive tense, which basically means it's something that's happening to you rather than something that you're doing. Let me give you an example. If I push Aaron, I'm pushing Aaron. That's an active thing. Now, if Aaron pushes me, I'm being pushed. So one instance, I'm pushing, and then Aaron is pushing me. When Paul said we fall short of the glory of God, he's saying that something is causing us to fall short of the glory of God. It's not the sense that we are actively falling short. It's the fact that something is making us fall short of the glory of God. And he mentioned what that was earlier in chapter 3. He said we are all under the power of what? Sin. The reason sin is a problem isn't just because it prevents us from being acceptable in God's presence as some holy, perfect thing. The reason sin is a problem is that it keeps us from fulfilling our purpose. It keeps us from fulfilling our divine assignment. And God's purpose from the beginning of creation was to give humanity the opportunity to share in his glory, to share in reflecting the wonders of who he is, to be in relationship with him, and we could reflect his glory throughout all of creation. But now we can't do it because we decided to do our own thing, to be the boss of our own lives. And now there's this thing called sin that keeps us captive, unable to reflect the glory of God. And this is the problem. This is the problem. We all fall short of the glory of God. So what does this mean for us today? What does this mean? So what, Gareth? So what we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God? So what? Well, I want to ask you, Christian, you follower of Jesus, why are you saved? Why are you saved? Because a lot of us sometimes, we all fall into this trap from time to time. We think that our salvation is about what happens after this life, after we die. All right? Some people call it fire insurance. And the reason why Jesus died for my sin is so that I go to the right place after I pass. But is that the real issue? Are you saved just so that, you know, you can just keep living the way you've been living, except now you just don't have to worry about what happens after you die? God is more concerned about the way you live, what happens while you're alive. Amen? Amen? Because he wants to, God doesn't need you to be sinless to love you. God has always loved you. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't have died for your sin in the first place. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's not about trying to get God to like us, get God to love us. The objective is for us to be empowered to fulfill God's purpose, because there's something on the inside of us that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. God tells us to go right, even when we want to go right. There's something in us that tells us, no, go left, go left, go left. God tells us to love this person, to be patient with this person. And God, some minister goes, mm-mm, you don't. They did you wrong. They don't need help from you. There's something in us that keeps us from fulfilling our purpose, and God wants to free us from that power so that we can reflect His glory. That's why He came to save us from sin, not so that He could like us again. Not just so that we could be acceptable in His presence, but so that we could fulfill our purpose. And so the question this morning is, why did God save you? What glory does God want to get from your life? What is the wowness of God that God wants to put on display through you? Through the uniqueness of who you are, the way God made you, the gifts He gave you. The people He's put around you. Because sometimes the people God puts around you is an indication of the glory He wants to shine through you. Because you don't put light in daylight. I don't take a candle and take it outside where it's already light. I take a candle into darkness. So if you're surrounded by darkness, you're right where you're supposed to be. What kind of glory does God want to get out of your life? And so I want to challenge you today not to think of your salvation in terms of what happens after this life. And let me tell you something, even after this life, you've got an assignment. You've got a job to do. You might go to heaven after you die, but guess what? You're coming right back down to earth. Did you know that? Yeah. If you look in Revelation chapter 21, matter of fact, let me just show you. Go to Revelation chapter 21. You're coming right back down here. You're not leaving here. You're coming right back down. Revelation 21. All right, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Starting at verse 1. What does it say? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them. Paradise is not up there. It's down here. Jesus said, pray this prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. The objective is for heaven to be here. Heaven on earth. Amen. Because there's work to do. There's an assignment. Where after you pass and you are in paradise with God, guess what? You're not going to be stringing harps and singing songs all day, just sitting around. No, you have an assignment on your life because God wants to glorify Himself through you. God wants all of creation to look at you, look at your life, look at the way God uses you and say, wow, look at what God made. Look at who God is. And you know what? To fulfill that purpose, it requires righteousness. It requires love. It requires wisdom. It requires patience and compassion. All right. So it's not just about being righteous for the sake of being righteous. It's about being righteous so that we can do our job. Amen. Why are you saved? Why are you saved? Why did God save you? What is your purpose? What is your purpose? You have a purpose. I'm glad you don't do the things you used to do. I'm glad you don't curse folk out like you used to. You might have done it yesterday, but you asked God for forgiveness. I know. I know you asked God to forgive you. God loves you. I know. I'm glad you don't do the things you used to do. But why did God want you to come out of those things? Why did God deliver you from addiction? Why did God deliver you from gossip? Why did God deliver you from selfishness? It's because there's an assignment on your life that requires you to be selfless, that requires you to speak well of people, that requires you not to be bound by certain things so that you can be free to do your job, to glorify the Lord, to fulfill your potential and fulfill your purpose in the earth. Amen. Amen. And I want us to ponder this question this morning. Why are you saved? What is the big picture for your life? We all have sinned, yes, and fall short of the glory of God. Therein lies the problem. I want us to get out our connection cards. Get out your connection card. I want us to ask the question, why are you saved? When God delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt, was it just so that he could take them out of Egypt? Or was it because he was taking them somewhere? There was a promised land that he was taking them somewhere. And God called you out of the crowd. He called you out of darkness. He called you out of the world because there's somewhere he's trying to take you. And it involves glorifying his name. Let's pray about how we will respond to the word this morning.